Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Amen, amen. Today, as you're having a seat, go with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 6. Romans, chapter number 6. Last week, we started a new series from the book of Romans called Controlling the Flesh. Controlling the Flesh. One of the hardest things that we find to do is to control ourselves. And yet, the Bible is clear that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can do the things that God has called us to do. I remind you, we talked about our makeup, who we are, that we are a three-part being. We're made in the image of God. And just like God is Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, when we take a look at ourselves, we can see the type of person that we are as well. I'm going to put a slide up on the overhead screens that shows this to you in that you are a spirit. That's the real you on the inside of you that if you live forever, will live on into eternity. That if you die and this physical body ceases, guess what? You're going to continue to live eternally. And that's the breath of God that animates you. That's your spirit man, the real man. The Bible calls it the hidden man of the heart on the inside. But you are a spirit that has a soul. What is that? That is your mind, your will, your emotions, your passions, and your desires. It's your thought processes, your thinking. That comes from the soul realm. But even though you are a spirit who has a soul, you live in a body. This is the earth suit. It's the easiest part of you to identify because we can see it, we can sense it, that sort of a thing. And yet, this is not the real you. This is just the tent that you are living in. And this tent wants to do certain things. It's got its own desires, and it's got its own thinking that comes up. And we're going to see how to overcome temptations and sin and the things that the devil puts in our way so that we don't continue to allow this body, this flesh, to do whatever it wants, but we can put it under the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can do what God wants. Romans chapter number 6, last time together we centered in on verse number 11. Let's read it again. It says this. It says, likewise, in other words, in the same fashion, talking about Jesus, how he died to sin, but he lived to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we talked about that word reckon. And we talked about how that really means to consider, to think about, to add up the facts and come to a conclusion. Even though it may not be so yet, that we can actually conclude that this is how it is. Based on the word of God, that's called faith. Is that right? That we see what God says about us in the word of God, that we are dead indeed to sin. Even though we may be in the presence of sin, that we are dead to it. And we say, well, I don't feel dead to it. And I still see sin in operation in my life. But because you've considered the word of God and what God has to say, you can reckon yourself or consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Verse number 12, therefore, in other words, because of what I just said about your consideration, your thought processes and your conclusions about being dead to sin, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Verse 13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. In verse number 12, it says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. That shows me that it is a choice, and our choice should be, do not let sin reign. You have a choice. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do, isn't it? Because sin wants to reign. It wants to rule over our lives. It wants us to do what it wants us to do. But it's a choice to let Jesus reign and to let the grace of God empower us to live the life that God wants. But sin, in its desire to reign over us, will give us reasons why we should obey it. Doesn't it? You ever heard that voice talking to you? Hey, it's okay. You should just go ahead and do it. See, sin is compelling. It'll give us reasons that seem reasonable. Well, hey, you deserve it. How about this one? Everybody's doing it. What about this one? Times have changed. You know, the Bible, that was for them at that time. Times have changed. This is how it is now. It's okay. And we think, well, yeah, that sounds right. It sounds reasonable. It gives us these compelling reasons. How about this one? You know what? You've been doing so good. You deserve a little break. Or how about this one? They were wrong. And therefore, you're justified in what you're about to do. Whether that's to give someone a piece of your mind, whether it's because your spouse withheld affection and therefore you're going to go take care of that some other way. Hello? Listen, you've been so good. You've been sober for years. One little drink isn't going to do much. You're okay. It's fine. And we allow ourselves to get caught up in the wrong thing. Why? Because sin is compelling, but it doesn't stop at compelling, because once you give in, sin is controlling. And it will control the activities of your life, and you'll be led and dominated by your flesh rather than been led by the Spirit of God. And sin will call on you to do its will. You know, anybody have like a million robot calls a day, the scams that come? Anybody other than Pastor Dan get those? I don't know. I put my number on the do not call list, and yet I get calls all the time, all day, every day. It's just crazy. I'm just like, what the heck? You know, and it's like got that robot thing that takes it and it puts its IP address into different places. And so I'll get it from like Moreno Valley, Colton, Rialto, you know, Big Bear. It almost sounds like California Will Be Saved's like list. I just saw Joel was here. Hey, Joel, wave at everybody. Say what's up to everybody. Hey, Joel, you guys just had an outreach yesterday, right? I'm so sorry I didn't ever get back to you. I can't make it, okay? But praise the Lord, you guys had some salvations last night. That's awesome. Hey, give it up for California Will Be Saved for the good work they're doing. Love you guys, man. I'm honored that you would come to church. Thank you. But you know, I get these calls from everywhere, and I'm like, what on earth is going on? What is happening here? And you know, years ago in 2013, we did a program. We had $13 million left on this building, so we decided we were going to pay it down. We're down to $3 million. Praise the Lord. We paid $10 million down on this building. And I remember we did this thing called Freedom for Our Future. Now it's called Free in Five, but Freedom for Our Future, we were looking for ways to save money. Some people gave up Starbucks. At the time, we called it $4 because it cost $4 for a coffee. You know, and so people said, if I just give that up every day and I take that money, I can put it into the church. And so we had a thing happen in our family where there was a silly sock day at our school. And our daughter at the time wanted to wear a certain socks that she had, and they were dirty. And so we washed them that morning, but we didn't have time to dry them before she headed out. So my wife had the wonderful idea that she was going to put them in the microwave and fast-track that drying process. Problem is, it didn't dry them, it fried them. And so they became holy socks. They had holes all through them afterwards. And so my wife was just, oh no, what am I going to do? My daughter was mortified. She's crying, you know, has to wear regular socks on silly sock day, and this is horrible, you know. And so they did their best, and my wife went out and bought a pair of new Christmas socks and brought them to her, and everything turned out to be okay. And we did this Romans 8:28, that God works all things together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And so I made a children's book out of it, and we sold it, trying to make some money for the church. Didn't really make money, kind of broke even, and just that was about the end of it, you know what I mean? But I self-published through an online publisher. And it was almost like after a couple of years, they released my information out there into the wild. And I get every book distributor, every marketer, every person. I don't even know where they're from. Even though it says Moreno Valley and, you know, Highland and all that kind of stuff, I don't even know what nation they're from. Like, I would understand if it was from India, if it was from, like, you know, one of these nations that you get the culture. I would get that. These accents, I don't even know where they're from. And I'm just like, who are you and where are you on the planet? Like, what time is it where you're at? You've got to be in the middle of the night somewhere, because I don't even know what accent that is. And they're always trying to sell. I'm like, I have spent enough and I am not spending any more money on that book. We're done. It's buried. It's in the grave. I'm moving on. It's on Amazon. Like, just leave it there. It doesn't need to go any further. That's all the marketing I'm doing, because if you really want to make money on books, you got to make it like a full-time job. And I got a full-time job. I'm happy. Leave me alone. How many of you get this one? The home energy upgrades phone calls, right? I mean, and they always trick you, because, like, you know, we're in San Bernardino, and, like, my kid's orthodontist is in San Bernardino. I don't have my kid's orthodontist in my phone. And so I get a call from San Bernardino, like, oh, well, maybe I should pick that one up, because might be the orthodontist wanting to know something, you know? And so I pick it up, and I should know, because it's always like there's that pause. You know what I mean? You pick it up, and it's like, hello? And then you hear it do, like, this little bloop. Like, I don't know what that noise is, but it's always like something like that, you know, and all of a sudden someone is talking a mile a minute. Hello, Mr. Roth. We've been calling for the energy upgrades of San Bernardino County. We want to make sure that your house is in this. And I just like, boom. When I say boom, you know what that means? Red button. Boom. You're out. I don't even say hi anymore. I don't say, hey, I'm not interested anymore. My wife thinks I'm so rude. She's like, honey, that is so rude. That's their job. And I'm like, yeah, and my job is to hang up on them. Like, just leave it. There's times that I'll be like, I'm not interested. Boom, you know, don't even get them. Because the moment you give them an inch, what are they going to do? Well, you're not interested, but I know that's not now, but can I call you in 3 months? Can I call you in 6 weeks? Can I call you tomorrow? And I'm like, no, I don't even want to hear it. But see, sin will call on you each and every day. And what do you do when sin calls on you? Boop. You just push that red button. I'm not listening to you, sin. I'm not answering your call. I'm sending you to voicemail, and then I'm going to delete the voicemail. Some of you guys get the text messages, right? Hey, you've got an Amazon package that needs to be delivered. We need all of your information plus your credit card. What do? Scam, you swipe it, you delete and report junk. See, that's what we've got to have, that same attitude, that same resistance to sin, because sin will come calling. It'll give you compelling reasons. Hey, you need this. You deserve this. Times have changed. This is how it is. It's okay. God's got grace available for you. Don't worry about it. There's no ramifications. It's just going to be fun, and no one will ever know. But listen, the moment you hear sin calling, the moment you recognize what it is, hit the red button. Hang up on it. Let me show this to you from the scriptures in 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and verse number 2. I'm going to read to you from the Amplified Classic Edition. You're welcome to read along whatever translation you have. It says this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1 and verse number 2. It says this, so, since Christ suffered in the flesh for us, for you, arm yourselves with the same, what's that word right there? Thought. Notice we talked about this last week, that the battle is fought right here in your mind. That's why he says, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God. Because there's a battle going on in your thinking. So he says, if you're going to have the right weapons to confront sin, you've got to arm yourself with the same thought and purpose, patiently to suffer rather than fail to please God. You know, when you say no to sin, it's not going to feel good. Sin feels good. It feels good to overeat. It feels good to sleep around. It feels good to do drugs for a season. But it does feel good. And when we say no to it, our body's going to scream at us, but it feels good. And we have to say, no, I'm hanging up the phone. But it doesn't mean that it'll be delightful right away, because we want it. Because we want that comfort. And so what are we doing? We're suffering in the flesh. Look at what it says, for whoever has suffered in the flesh, having the mind of Christ. Notice, this is your thought realm linking up with the Spirit of God. Having the mind of Christ is done with intentional sin. Now, I thank God that the Amplified put intentional in there, because there's going to be something that happens, and that is that you're going to sin. Why? Because you live in a flesh body. And there's going to be times where you miss the mark. That's what sin is. It's an archery term, that I aimed at something and I missed the mark. That's sin. There's going to be times where you're aiming at godliness, but someone's going to come and say something stupid to you, and you're going to give them a piece of your mind. You missed the mark. There's going to be times where you're on the freeway, and the dude in front of you is just going so slow, and you're impatient, and you're going to miss the mark. There's going to be times where you're driving down that same freeway, and you're going to see a billboard with something on there that you should not be looking at, and you're going to look twice. And you're going to miss the mark. There's going to be things that happen that you will sin. So notice he says that, not that we're done with sin, because if he said that just you're done with sin, we'd all get under condemnation. Well, but I sinned. I must not be saved. Oh, I'm so wrong. I might as well give up. But he doesn't say just sin. He says intentional sin. See, you're going to miss the mark. You're going to mess up. But you're not going to walk into it open eyes, willingly doing the will of the devil and of your flesh. See, if you suffered in the flesh, you're done with intentional sin. When you recognize who's calling and you recognize, I need to have the mind of Christ, I need to think the God thoughts right now. Now, as you suffer in the flesh, you're done with intentional sin. Look at this. Has stopped pleasing himself and the world and pleases God, so that he can no longer spend the rest of his natural life living by his human appetites and desires. Notice, you're no longer living for your flesh. It's no longer about letting your body be in control and in the driver's seat. But he lives for what God wills. Notice now you're walking in the Spirit of God. So what do we do instead? Okay, if we're hanging up on the devil, then what do we do instead of that? Well, here's the deal, is when God calls, you answer that call. My beautiful wife, who's over here on the front row last service, she was amening me so, so good. In fact, she outdid all the rest of the church service saying amen, because she loves me so much and she thinks I'm the greatest. But whenever she calls, I've got a picture of her. They were doing a photo shoot for Women Rock AM one morning, and they were at this place that had these big glass windows, and the sun at one moment hit those windows, and it just hit my wife in the most perfect way. It lit her up. She was laughing. She was smiling. The wind was blowing through her curly hair. Her big pearly white teeth were out. Oh, my gosh. The woman looked so gorgeous. And right at that moment, snap, they took a picture. I have that picture on my phone so that when she calls me, it comes up. And I tell you, sometimes I won't answer right away. Because I'm like, ooh, girl, you look good. You know, you might think that your wife is the prettiest thing on the planet, and you should. That woman over there is the prettiest thing on the planet to me. No one's prettier. No one's better. I'm not looking at anything else or anyone else. Right there. When she calls, girl, let it ring a couple more times. She looks good. When I'm in the car, I have to be careful because that same picture comes up on the car, and I'm like, ooh, oh, wait, no, I gotta watch the road right now, and that's why I answer quick in the car, but man, I'll linger a little bit when she calls. And I'm like, yes, my love, what is your desire? And she's like, shut up, let me get to what I need to say. Come on, how many know we can't lie in the pulpit, right? That's... There's times where I won't want to get off the phone. I'm like, no, you hang up. No, it doesn't happen. I'm like, girl, don't hang up. She's like, Dan, I've got things to do. I'm like, but I love you. And she's like, bye. But see, when God calls, our heart should leap. God, here I am, Lord. What is it? God, don't hang up. God, please. God, I love you. God, I'm ready. Whatever it is you have, God, come on, let's talk about it. Let's go there, God. It delights our hearts. See, if you give sin a vote, you're going to get voted down. If you try and bargain, a little bit of this, and then you just leave me alone. No, you give sin an inch, it'll take a mile. See, you got to choose where you're used. That's why the Bible says, do not let sin reign. It's a choice. It is an act of your will. Right up here in your thinking. In the soul realm, you have a mind, you have a will, and you have emotions. It may not feel nice, but because you are willing to serve God, guess what? You're not going to let sin reign in your mortal body. You choose where you'll be used. And it's all in the presentation. Did you notice that in verse number 12? It said, and do not present your members to sin, to unrighteousness, but present your members to God as alive from the dead. As members and instruments of righteousness. See, to present means to offer yourself to. To give yourself over to. See, you can present yourself to sin. You can give yourself over to sin. Yeah, that sounds reasonable. I am compelled, and now all of a sudden you're being controlled. Why? Because you offered yourself to be used by it. Or how about this? You can present yourself to God as a life of the God, whatever you want. God, what's your desire? God, I'm listening, God. I'm not sending God to voicemail. No, God, let's talk. What is it that you want for my life? It's all in the presentation. It's all who you give yourself over to. And we got the King James Version in here. And we got the OG KJV. These are OGs right here. You can see them all around. They got the original King James Version. It uses the word yield, not present. It says, therefore, do not yield your members to sin as to an unrighteousness, but yield yourself to God. It means, I love this. We think about it in terms of driving, right? Well, I'm going to let them go. I'm going to yield to the oncoming traffic. I'm going to yield to whoever's merging, right? Well, I guess that's okay. You know, I'm going to let God go. I'm going to let sin go. Yeah, but it's kind of a weak illustration, isn't it? See, in the original, when it says yield, it literally means to put in the service of. Think about that for a second. If I'm yielding to sin, I'm putting my body in the service of sin. See, sin was your old master. And behind sin was the devil controlling your life. And when you yield yourself to sin, you put yourself in the service of whatever you want me to do. Oh, you want me to go jump in bed with that person? Yes. Oh, you want me to go and smoke that? Snort it up my nose? Stick it in my arm? Yes. Oh, you want me to go beat up that person? Beat up my wife? Beat up my kids? You want me to verbally abuse somebody? Oh, you want me to give them a piece of my mind online and just spew venom all up? Yes. See, whoever you submit yourself to serve, that one is the master over you. If you yield yourself to sin, submit yourself in service to sin, then sin will be your master. But on the other end of that, if you submit yourself in service of God, guess what? God is your master. Jesus is your Lord. Anybody remember the old song, Bob Dylan? You're going to have to serve somebody. It might be the devil. You guys don't know this song? Or it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And all the background singers said, serve somebody. I'm the only one who knew that song. Okay, wow. First service sang along. I'm just saying. But you choose. See, the song's true. You're going to have to serve somebody. It might be the devil. Or it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You choose who you're going to serve. Every day, don't yield yourself to sin. Yield yourself in service to God. How do we do this? Let me show this to you, okay? I've got a graphic up on the overhead screens, okay? Your spirit, the real you on the inside of you, now that there's been that great exchange, the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, when you yield yourself to the Spirit, you're making a choice from the soul realm, your mind, your will. You're saying, I'm choosing to serve God. I'm going to choose to stay in the Spirit. And that says that that's righteousness. That's the right place that you should be. It's a positional truth, but it's also a practical truth. Righteousness is both the position with God and the practice of what God says to do. So when you are staying in the Spirit, when you make that choice, that's righteousness. Righteousness is God's domain. You're operating in the kingdom of God when you're righteous. Why? Because you're in the right place, and a place is where dominion can be held, and that's God's kingdom realm. You understand? And when you're in that place, there's grace. What is grace? God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. Listen, you can't be good. It's not in you. In your flesh, it's weak. And it's got its own desires. It's got its own will, its own mind. It's got passions and lusts that want to take you the wrong way. You can't do it on your own. That's why you need the Spirit of God. So when you make the choice, no, I'm going to stay in the Spirit, guess what happens? God says, there's the grace, there's the power and the strength that you need to be. But on the opposite end, when your soul links up with your body, notice it's unrighteousness. Wrong place, wrong practice. And that puts you into sin's dominion and really the devil's dominion, right? And with that isn't grace. No, now it's law. That's what Romans chapter 6, verse number 14 said. Is that now you operate under the law. What does that mean? It means there are consequences for your actions. See, sometimes Christians get it wrong and they think that there will never be consequences for our actions because Jesus' grace covers our sin. Absolutely, Jesus' grace covers your sin. But whatever you sow, you will also reap. You can't abuse your family and expect the grace of God just to cover it and they're just going to forgive you and love you. There are consequences to your actions. I've had too many people come crying in my office, Pastor Dan, I don't know why they're not coming back. Well, you beat the snot out of them. What did you think was going to happen when you slept around on your spouse? You thought they were just going to welcome you with open arms? And even if they do you think they're going to let you back in bed after you've been around with other people? No, there are consequences to your actions. People getting drunk all the time wondering why they have liver problems. Hello? If you abuse alcohol or if you abuse food, there are people, I don't know why I have diabetes. I don't know why I've got these complications in my body. I don't know why. Listen, could it be that we're eating the wrong things? Pastor, you're not supposed to talk about that. If we don't talk about it and you continue in these sins, you know, the Bible says gluttony is a sin. I know we don't talk about this stuff. Well, I wouldn't talk about pornography. I want to talk about those really bad sins, murder and adultery and all that kind of stuff. What about just the appetites that we allow unrestrained? Say, Pastor, you're skinny. Yeah, it's because I put a knife to my throat. There are things that I talked about it last week. I want to eat the whole bag of chips. You know what I mean? So I'll get out a little napkin or I'll get out a little, you know, Tupperware thing. I'll put the chips in that, and then I don't go back for seconds. That's how I do that because I put my body under submission to the Spirit of God because when I get in the flesh, I'm going to eat the whole bag. Then I'm going to go for a new bag. Then I'm going to go buy another bag. You hear what I'm saying? Because I know in my family there's heart disease. And my dad, before he passed, was dealing with diabetes. And so I know the fear and the terror of what your natural consequences will be. That's why we strive against the flesh. Listen, if you're in here today and you're battling pornography, you're battling overeating, you're battling those sins and those thoughts and those desires and those passions and those lusts, here's the hope that God has for you. You don't have to be dominated by your flesh. You can choose to not let sin reign in your mortal body, but you can present yourself to God as alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness. That's what the hope is for all of us. See, in the negative way, when we yield our members as instruments or tools or weapons of unrighteousness unto sin, as mortals in the flesh, we'll be dead while we're still living. Because it's going to produce death in us. There's a true story of a plane that was going from California to Florida and from Florida back to California on a regular basis. It was a supply plane in the military. And they would do these routine back and forth each week. And they would carry supplies. One day, the plane, 3 miles from the landing strip, crashed. And they went to investigate. They found the black box, and they thought that they would hear, you know, the pilots talking about some error or something that was going on. They thought that they might hear them struggling or crying out or something. They didn't hear a thing. It was completely quiet right up until the point of impact. And they thought, my goodness, were these guys passed out? Was there carbon monoxide? You know, what took place? And so they went and they found the instruments. And they found the log of what the instrument panel had done. And so the plane took off at the normal time. And the autopilot landing was engaged at the proper time, okay? Because it took a certain amount of time for them to fly from California to Florida. But when they started to investigate the environmental factors, they found out that there was wind resistance, there was turbulence, and things that came against that plane along the way. And even though it was the right time for them to land, it was not the right place for them to land. Without looking around at where they were at, the pilots, because of the timing, engaged the autopilot to land, and the plane took over, and it took them to the wrong destination, which ended in their destruction. See, in our lives, if we're not in control, guess what's going to happen? It's going to end up in devastation in your life. There will be consequences to our action when we engage the autopilot, and we let this earth suit take us where we don't want to go. And that's why it's so important for us in the positive way that we yield our members as instruments or tools or even weapons of righteousness to God as alive from the dead. Are you listening today? Come on, you can do this. You can control the flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to show this to you in the book of Galatians. Turn with me to Galatians chapter number 5. I'm going to be bouncing from both the New King James Version and the Passion Translation. Now, I know some people say, well, the Passion Translation, that's not a real translation. He takes from, like, the Greek and the Aramaic, and then he kind of mashes them all together, so it's not a direct translation. It's more of a commentary on the essence of the Scriptures. I would agree, but I still love it, all right? Because I think he brings out some nuances and some things that are very healthy, and especially with what we're talking about today. But we'll, like I said, we'll bounce from New King James and into the Passion Translation. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse number 16, and I'll start reading from the Passion Translation. He says this, let me emphasize this. As you yield, everybody say yield. As you yield to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self life. I like what the New King James Version says. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, we wonder, how can I not do what my body's telling me to do? Here's how, walk in the Spirit. To walk means simply to live out your life. If you live life in the Spirit, automatically you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Because when you engage God's autopilot, God will take you where you need to be. But if you engage the flesh's autopilot, it'll take you to destruction. Goes on, he says, when your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit, you hinder him from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your self-life from dominating you. So then, the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit. I want to pause right there for a second, put that body, soul, and spirit graphic back up on the overhead screens. I want you to notice at the bottom, it's got the two arrows with a circle with a line through it. That means that it doesn't work. You understand? Your spirit and your soul, they're compatible. They can work together, and when they work together, it will dominate the flesh. Your soul and your body, though, when they link up, they are compatible in the wrong way. And when they link up, it will dominate your spirit. It will hinder the work of the Spirit in your life. But your spirit and your body are at war with one another. They're incompatible. These two are opposing forces. Your flesh, in the New King James Version, says lust against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. There are desires of the Spirit. There are passions. We could even say lusts. Jesus said, I passionately desire this communion with you. What was he saying? It's the same word that we find the word lust, but it really it's an intense, passionate desire. So the spirit has intense, passionate desires that are against the body, and the body has intense, passionate desires against the spirit. And these two can't work together. You've got to choose in the soul realm which one you're going to link up with, whether it's going to be the spirit or whether it's going to be the flesh. He goes on, he says this. He says, but when you yield to the life of the spirit, you will no longer be living under the law, but soaring above it. Then he says this. He says, the behavior of the self-life is obvious. New King James once again says that the works of the flesh are evident. In other words, you already know what's the flesh because you know your vice. You could say it right. If I asked you, what is the sin that you deal with the most? This right here. Here it is. This is the thing that I deal with the most. But then he lists some of it. He says this, sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God. The Bible calls that covetousness. If you ever wondered what that was, it's chasing after, it's the greedy desire for things where you can never have enough. Manipulating others. Hey, if you're manipulating to get your way, that's the flesh. Hatred of those who get in your way. Senseless arguments. Anybody peeked in online lately? You got all these people arguing about everything. And you're like, why are they even arguing? Senseless. Senseless arguments. It's the flesh, that's why. Resentment when others are favored. Why'd they get the promotion? I didn't get the promotion. I've been working. I've been better than they have. How about this? Temper tantrums. Angry quarrels. Only thinking of yourself. You know, that's called selfishness. I tell you, when I peek in online, I don't do it that much, but when I peek in online, I'm like, my goodness, how selfish our society's become. They don't even care about other people. They don't even have the sensitivity of the moment. They're all about themselves. I'll start talking about someone, well, what about me? What about you? Flesh. Only thinking about yourself. Being in love with your own opinions. Pfft, there's online all day, every day, right? Being envious of the blessings of others. I want that vacation. I want that car. Murder. I never murdered anybody. Did you hate him in your heart? Because Jesus said that if you hated someone in your heart, you committed murder. Uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. In other words, this list is not exhaustive, but you will know the works of the flesh versus the works of the spirit. You're going to know. It's evident. And then he says an interesting statement. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God? See, there is a line that's permeated the church that you can do whatever you want to do, and it doesn't matter because the grace of God will cover your sin, and there will be no consequences for it, and you still get to go to heaven. That's a lie. Because God sees beyond the external. You may go to church. You may carry a Bible. You might be able to quote a scripture. You might pray. But if you are unrepentant and unwilling to give up your sin, and if you are using and misusing and abusing, I should say, the grace of God, then you are receiving it in vain. And don't think that you're going to go to heaven. That's what the scripture just said right there. I've got quiet in this place, but listen, guys, some of you are dealing with sin on a continual basis, and you hate it, and you're resisting it, and you're fighting it, and you don't want it in your life. That's different than what we're talking about. You understand? Because there are people that misuse the grace of God and say, it's okay, and so they dive in. Other people, they find themselves weak. They find themselves giving in. They've got that temptation they don't know how to overcome, but they're striving, and they're repentant, and their heart is breaking over it. Listen, God sees that, and that is not what we're talking about. That is I won't say okay. It's not okay to sin. But that is something that God can work with in the sense of when you bring it to God and you confess it with a broken and contrite heart, that's the sacrifice that God accepts. And God is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Keep striving. Keep struggling. Keep pressing. Keep going with God. Keep overcoming. And the things that you're dealing with today, in a year, in 10 years, you're not going to be dealing with those same things at the same levels. You can overcome. You can control the flesh by the power of the Spirit. But if you are misusing the grace of God as a veil for your vice, don't think that you're going to heaven. God sees right past that facade, and God knows the heart. And so he says, I've told you this already. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then I love this. He changes tune and he goes into this. He says, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Once again, he's bringing out nuance, okay? Because we know these words, love, joy, peace, patience, right? We can go on all nine of the fruit of the Spirit. But he says this. He says that this is divine love in all of its varied expressions. Like he said, it's like an orange, right? We got different varieties of orange. You got the navel orange. You got the Valencia orange. You got those Florida oranges that nobody in California will even give the time of day to because we're Californians and we're very proud of our oranges. Is that right? And so he says, here's love in all of its varied expressions. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, so that when you're on the 10 freeway and they're just not going fast enough, or they cut you off, or the motorcyclist cuts the lane and scares the junk out of you, right? Kindness in action, a life full of virtue or the goodness of God flowing out of your life, faith that prevails. Listen, you don't have to be in fear over what's going on. As you stay in the Spirit of God, faith is going to come out of your life. And faith prevails. Gentleness of heart. You don't have to beat up the people around you. You can be gentle with them because of the Spirit of God moving in your life and strength of spirit. Really, that word is temperance. You know, we think about the word temperature. You know, you have a control in your house. You can set the temperature. You got a thermostat, right? It's the same thing. When you set your heart on the things of God, when you set your mind to do the will of God and stay in the Spirit, my goodness, you're going to have control. And you're going to set the tone of your life. You under the power of God, strength of spirit. Never set law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Guys, a limitless life can only be achieved by the power of the Holy Spirit in yielding your members in service of God. The choice is yours. Put your mind to it. When your soul links up with the Spirit of God, it will overrule your flesh. And God will move us with his passions, his pursuits, his pleasures, and his purposes. Let me say it to you like this. If God has conquered you, then sin cannot conquer you again. So don't let sin reign. Choose where you're used. We're going to discuss this more in the weeks to come. And it starts by identifying where your thoughts are at. I'm going to give you some homework, all right? I'm going to give you some practical tool this week, all right, that I want you to work on this week, okay? Because I know we had a lot of information, but here comes the application. This is where the rubber meets the road. What do I do with this? If I can choose, then what do I do with that? Here's where it starts. Identify. Where is the thought? Let me just practice this on you for a second, okay? Here's the thought. There's a chocolate cake in the fridge, and I'm going to go eat the whole thing. Spirit or flesh? Flesh. Okay, here's the same scenario, different, right? I had a healthy breakfast, healthy lunch, healthy dinner. I'm going to go get a little slice of cake. Flesh or spirit? Some people still said flesh, right? Temperate, right? I'm not going to eat the whole cake. I'm just going to eat a little slice. Okay, go ahead. Treat yourself. Have fun, right? How about this? That boss. I'm going to go in there and give him a piece of my mind. Flesh or spirit? Flesh, right? How about this? Oh, that boss, I'm going to pray for him. Spirit, right? Ah, that's a good one, huh? How about this? Man, I can't control this desire. I'm just going to peek at a movie online. Just a little bit, just to satisfy. Just a little taste. Flesh or spirit? Flesh. How about this? Man, I got to get out of the house. I'm going to go take a walk. Man, I'm feeling this way. I'm feeling some kind of way. I'm just going to go and work out. I'm going to go get my energy out, and I'm going to not let that dominate me. Flesh or spirit? Spirit, right? See, it's evident. It's easy. Identify where the thought is at. Now, what do you do if you find out that the thought is the flesh? Ah, I'm glad you asked. See, because if your thoughts are in the wrong place, it's time to replace them with the Spirit of God. John chapter 6. Turn there with me. John chapter number 6. John's gospel. Okay? And in John chapter number 6, we're going to go towards the end of the chapter into verse number 63. John chapter 6 and verse number 63, Jesus is speaking. He makes a profound statement, especially in light of what we've been talking about today. John chapter 6, verse number 63, he says this. He says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. In other words, the flesh isn't going to do you any good. So if you find your thoughts are in the flesh, then you need to replace them with the Spirit. Because God gives life through the Holy Spirit. Then he makes this statement in the next sentence. The words I speak to you are, come on, help me out. They are what? Spirit and are what? Life. You want real life? You want to live life in the Spirit? then guess what? It's the words. It's the word of God. Let me say it to you like this. You got to replace the thoughts of the flesh with the word of life, the scriptures. Let me show this to you, okay, in a practical way. When you think, oh, man, the government's been taking all my money. I'm going to cheat on my taxes. That's obviously the what? Flesh. Come on, you guys got to play with me today, all right? You haven't already checked out yet, have you? Are you in the flesh? I'm going to beat the Baptist to the buffet today, right? Come on, get back in the spirit. Get back in the spirit. So if you're thinking, I'm going to cheat on my taxes, what is that? Flesh. You got to replace that with the word of God. Render to Caesar's what's Caesar's. Hello. And then at the end of that, he says, render to God what's God's. Because sometimes people say, well, tithing isn't real. Jesus never said for us to tithe. Oh, yes, he did. He said, give to God what's God's. And if you think it's just a tithe, you better read the New Testament. It's everything. Tithe is a good place to start. But that was old covenant. We got a better covenant with better sacrifices. That means our gifts should be better. Better. So see, render to Caesar's what Caesar, render to God's what God. How about this? You're driving down the road. Some of you young men dealing with young men things, right? You see that pretty thing up on the billboard and you go, ooh, and you take two looks. Wait. Okay, flesh, right? So what do? You replace it. How about like Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon any young maiden. Ooh, what did you do? You just replaced that flesh with the word of God. Why? Because his word is spirit and it is life. Come on, you want the life of God? You want the spirit of God? You got to start speaking the scriptures over your life. Replace them with the scriptures. More on this in the weeks to come. Do you guys get some of the word of the Lord today? Come on, give God a great big praise. Pastor,
hey, before we leave this place, I want to make sure that you're right with God before we leave. It'd be tragic if we stopped right there and we let you go and your heart wasn't right. You got in your car and you started your car and your heart stopped and you died. See, Pastor, that's not going to happen to me. I'm young. I'm healthy. But I think if anything, as we look around the world, especially in these past weeks, months, and even years, we can see that you're not guaranteed tomorrow. At a church this size, we do, I think, around 40 funerals a year. And you know, it's not just old people. It's young people. It's middle-aged people. People just like you and me. And you're not guaranteed tomorrow. By the way, Jesus could come back at any moment. Bible says no man knows the day or the hour, but it does say we will know the times and the seasons. And he's coming soon. And I want to make sure that you're right with God. You say, but Pastor, all roads lead to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. Do you know that? Nowhere in the Bible say all roads lead to heaven. That's New Age thinking. It's not biblical thinking. The Bible says there's only one way to heaven, and that's God's way. Can't get there your way, my way, some well-meaning church committee's way. Can't get there society's way. Can't float down the lazy river of life and expect to make it to heaven. That's not going to make it. The Bible says wide is the path that leads to destruction. There's a lot of people on it, but narrow is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Can I shine some light on the path for you today? You say, it's okay, Pastor. Don't worry about me. I've been a good person, done a lot of good deeds, been nice to my neighbors, kind to my family members when they've been ugly to me. I've given money to charities, gotten involved in social justice causes. I've been really good. I'm like a pillar of my community. Everybody knows me, and they know that I'm good. I think God knows. And he'll let me into heaven because I think I've been good enough. Can I ask you the question? How good is good enough? Is there a grading scale, a line, a curve that you have to be above in the back of the Bible? It's not there. Nor in the Bible say, be this good or complete this list of good deeds. The Bible asks, what can man give in exchange for his soul? You can't. In fact, Romans, we were in the book of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 3 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one's perfect. We all fall short. You're not going to make it to heaven by being good. Because you simply can't be good enough. Sometimes people say, but Pastor, I was raised in church. My parents told me we were Christians growing up. Maybe they hung a cross or St. Christopher around your neck, had you baptized or christened as a child, went to religious classes like Sunday school, Sabbath school, maybe catechism class. You've always considered yourself to be a Christian. Born in America, America's a Christian nation. Everybody born in America is going to heaven. We're not any other religions. We're not Buddhists. We're not Muslims. We're not Hindus. We're Christians, right? I even got a tattoo with a scripture on a t-shirt that says Jesus. I'm a fan. Yeah, that's great. That's not going to get you into heaven. Nor in the Bible say your upbringing, your family association, your location on the earth, the jewelry you wear, the classes you take, the religious rituals you're involved in, or a t-shirt or a tattoo are going to get you into heaven. There's no default setting. You're not going to make it to heaven that way. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, it wasn't just a childish thing for me. Here I am in church in front of you right now. Here I am. Here I'm watching online right now. Doesn't that mean I'm a Christian? I consider myself a Christian. I'm here at church. Nope. No one in the Bible said you sit in church service, call yourself a Christian, that makes you Christian. It's like me going out to Dodger Stadium, wearing a Dodger uniform, sitting in the dugout, bring my bat and my ball, say I'm a Dodger, and expect to play in the game. You know what's going to happen? They're going to find me sitting there, drag me out, and lock me up. Why? Because I'm not a member of the Dodgers organization. Same way you can't just sit in church, call yourself a Christian. Watch one online, say I'm a Christian, that makes me a Christian. It doesn't. That's not going to make it. Someone needs to love you enough, respect you enough, and honor you enough, and not play games, tell you the truth. And today, I'm doing just that. This is loving. You say, Pastor, it doesn't sound very loving. It is, because you know what? If you were out in the street and a car was coming at you and I said, hey, I love you, and I let the car hit you, you'd be like, you're mean. How could you? But if I said, hey, get out of the road, there's a car coming, and I was rude about it, got in your face and yelled at you, you'd say, thank you. Man, that could have been bad. Same thing with you. What if I see your life headed for hell and I say, hey, I love you? You landed in hell, you'd say, gosh, what a terrible pastor. But when I tell you the truth, am I your enemy for that? No. This is the most loving thing I can do. Just say, you need to watch your life. You need to check yourself out. See whether or not you're in the faith. Oh, pastor, don't worry about me. My last church, I got involved. I was a leader. Helped out, sang in the choir, carried the pastor's Bible, made decisions. I even got a membership card to that church and taught in the Bible classes. That's great. I'm glad you did those things. Show that to me in the Bible. That'll get you into heaven. It doesn't. You know, there's people in the Bible. There's groups of people. One group got to go to heaven. The other group, they were talking about what they did in church. Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do miracles in your name? I mean, how many of us have done those things? And yet Jesus says to that group, away from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. That shows me there was something wrong inside of them. Even though they were doing the right thing on the outside, on the inside, there was something off. And so just getting involved in church isn't going to get you to heaven if you got the wrong heart. Sometimes you say, oh, okay, pastor, don't worry about me. I know what you're getting at. Don't worry about me. I know God. I know about Jesus, know about Easter and the resurrection. Sing the songs at Christmas every year of my life. I've got scriptures memorized, pastor, Old and New Testament. Yeah, so is the devil. You find that devil quoting scriptures in the Gospels. I mean, that's the craziest thing you ever heard of, devil quoting scriptures. I would have thought, you probably would have thought this too, that if the devil quoted a scripture, his face would melt off. At least his tongue, you know what I mean? Kind of like Wizard of Oz, my melting. It doesn't happen. He just keeps going on twisting the scriptures. You know what else the Bible says in the book of James? That demons believe and they tremble. Why? Because they know they're not going to make it. Everybody look up here at me for a second. Even online, look at your screen right now. It's not about what you have in your head. It's not about having mental assent towards God, knowing who Jesus is, and that gets you right with God. Rather, you're still watching? It's about your heart. John, the third chapter, we find out God's way to heaven. Jesus said it to a religious leader of his day by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus, let me tell you about him for a second. He was a good guy. Did a lot of good deeds. He was a teacher of Israel. If we wanted to find out about God, we would have gone to Nicodemus. I mean, he held to the strictest form of the religious law of his day. He could quote the scripture. He could debate the scripture. How many of us could do this? He could sing the scripture. He had it memorized. First five books of the Bible. That's like, wow. Now, we would have thought if anybody was going to heaven, it would have been Nicodemus. Jesus says this very blatantly, very pointedly to him. He says, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. It's just that simple. Now, I know. We say being born again, and people turn off. They go, ooh, I saw that in a movie. Read about that in a blog on the internet. They said it wasn't scripture. Well, I just told you John, the third chapter. It's in the scriptures. So whoever said that's pretty stupid. They don't know their Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1. Find the concept all throughout the Bible. You must be born again. Let's not let Hollywood movies, television books, and blogs on the internet define for us what it means. What does the Bible say about being born again? Well, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, being born again has always meant the same thing. You ready for it? Here's how you're going to get to heaven. There's no other way except God's way. And Jesus is God. He said, you must be born again. What does that mean? It means that you've surrendered to God all of your heart. And you've surrendered to God all of your life. It's just that simple. It's all or nothing with Jesus. Let me prove it to you. Last book of the Bible, book of Revelation. Jesus is speaking to a church just like he's speaking to us here in this church and online today. And he says, when I come, I want to find you hot or I want to find you cold. Because if I find you warm, he says, I'll vomit you from my mouth. That's pretty gross, pretty graphic words in the mouth of Jesus. But what is he saying? He's saying half-hearted, lukewarm Christianity is not real Christianity at all. You might be a little in, little out, little up, little down, little token prayer every now and again, occasional church attendance. God is something in your life, but he's not everything. And you're not opposed to God, but you're not wholehearted for God. Listen, if that's your relationship with Jesus, you're not going to make it. How do I know that? Because only people that are not real Christians will be ejected and rejected from the body of Christ. You have to surrender to God everything. All means all of your heart. And all of your life. You might be thinking, well, pastor, I've been such a rascal. You don't know what I was doing last night, or maybe you don't know what I was doing this morning before I came to church. Listen, God does, and he's not in therapy taking Prozac over it, wringing his hands, oh, what am I going to do? No, he's already provided the sacrifice, Jesus, on your behalf. But you've got to surrender to him all of your heart and all of your life. Don't think for a moment, let me clean up my act and then I'll come to God. No, no, you come to God and he'll clean you up from the inside out. Just bring it to him. And if you mess up, you get up, you repent, you turn from your way, you dust off, and you keep following God, you confess it to him. And God's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. And you stop it. You link up with the Spirit like we talked about today, and you keep moving forward with God. Even if you mess up, you can repent, and you can turn, and you can keep going with God. That's why we say all of your heart and all of your life is that you're not giving up on God, because he'll never give up on you. And even if you mess up, you're committed to keep following. See, this is not just fire insurance. You throw up a prayer one time, and then you get to get a get-out-of-hell-free card. No, no, no. This is all of your heart and all of your life where you're committed to following. You're not misusing and abusing the grace of God like we talked about in unrepentant, willful sin. Because there is no fire insurance. There's only a life laid down, a wholehearted commitment to Jesus. And there are those of you in this place today, you need to surrender to God all of your heart. You need to surrender to God all of your life. You need to change destinies. Whereas you're headed for hell, you can head for heaven. Here's how this is going to look today. I'm going to give you that opportunity. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. When I say three, I'm going to pop my hand on this microphone. Bang, just like that. When you hear the sound of my hand pop on that microphone, bang, that's your opportunity to simply raise your hand. What you're doing in raising your hand is you're making a statement. You're saying something. You're saying, I want to give God all my heart. I want to give God all my life. I want to be born again, head for heaven, denying hell. I'll see your hand go up. I'll count it. You put it right back down. Online, you can just throw it up for a moment, put it right back down. You might be here live thinking, well, wait a second. Hold on. Time out, Pastor. If I raise my hand, I'll be embarrassed. Yeah, you might be. That's okay. Think of the trade-off. Isn't it better to be embarrassed for a moment than just to end up forever in hell, forever and ever and ever and ever? Listen, don't let the devil try and talk you out of this. Don't let your flesh try and talk you out of this. Link up with the Spirit. Make that choice. I'm going to go with the Spirit of God, and I'm going to surrender all of my heart and all of my life to Jesus Christ. Jesus said it like this. He said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, he says, I will deny you. Today, it's your call. It's your choice. You can sit there and do nothing. You made a choice. Or how about this? Make the right choice. Listen, you're not coming back as a dog or a frog working your rib and you're human. Get another shot at this. You've got one life to live this life. The Bible says it's appointed for men once to die and then to the judgment. Come on, today, it's your day of salvation. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You need to give God all of your heart. You need to give God all of your life. Who should raise their hand in a moment? If you've been running from God instead of to God, I'm speaking to you. Who should raise your hand if you're not sure? Today, make sure. Who should raise your hand? Maybe you've never done this before. Never given God all of your heart and life. Come on, I'm speaking to you. Or finally, who should raise your hand? If you're lukewarm, half-hearted, maybe you're backslidden and you need to come home like the prodigal. Come on, today, it's your day. Get ready to get your hands up on the count of three. Here we go, both live and online. I'm going to count to three, pop my hand on this microphone. You know who you are. Get ready to get your hands up. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high. Thank you. There's one. God bless you. There's two, three, four. Thank you. There's five, six, seven right up front here. Eight, nine. God bless you. Way up on top. Give me a wave if I don't see you. Anyone else? Nine, ten in the back. I got you over there. Yeah, thank you. God bless you. Who else today? There's 10 wise people already. Who else today? Need to give God all of your heart. Need to give God all of your life. 11 up on top. I got you over there. Yeah, thank you. God bless you. Come on, if you're sitting there wondering if you should do this, yeah, you should. Come on, let's go for God today. Who else? You need to surrender all of your heart, all of your life to Jesus. Anybody else? I'm going to give you one more opportunity, one more moment. If your heart's beating out of your chest, you broke out in a sweat and you wish I'd shut up, I think God's trying to get your attention right now. Come on, is there anybody else, live and online? Come on, get that hand up. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you, number 12. God bless you. Come on, Spirit of God's moving on your heart right now. It's just a simple surrender. To anybody else, I didn't embarrass them, and I won't embarrass you. Come on, let's go for God today. Let's go for God today. Maybe you're sitting there, and you're bargaining with God right now. Okay, God, if he gives one more call, then I'll do it. Listen, God's not your trick pony. But God does love you enough to have me give one more call right now to show you how much he cares for you, how he's compelling you. Maybe you've been bartering with God, trying to bargain, well, maybe in this and that. No, listen, just simple surrender. Come on. Is there anybody else? Last call. We're going to wrap this up. Last call. If that's you, get your hand up real high when I'm looking in your direction. Thank you. Number 13. God bless you. Who else today? Who else today? Need to surrender to God. All of your heart. Need to surrender to God. Number 14. Yeah. God bless you. Is there anybody else? There's 14. Don't you just know? There you are in the back. 15. I'm a greedy little preacher, aren't I? I just want so many people to come into the kingdom. Last call. Last call. All right, this is it. I promise this time. Wrapping it up. Anybody else? All right, come on. Let's give the Lord a hand for 15 wise people. Can we all stand together? As we stand, no one leave during this time. For those of you that raised your hand or you should have raised your hand, I want you to get out of your seat, get in the aisle. Come on, get your stuff. Get a friend if you need a friend. Get your kids if you brought them with you. I want you to get in the aisle. Meet me up front because you don't get saved by raising your hand. You got to surrender to God all of your heart and life. The Bible says if you believe with your heart,
and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, you will be saved. So come on, let's pray together right here at the altar. Come on down. Come on down. Come on. Church, let's celebrate our new brothers and sisters. They're coming. Come on, you can come too. Parents, if your children raise their hand, bring them. Come on, they'll remember this and good for them. Bring them down right now. Come on down. Come on, church, let's keep it going for them. They're coming. Come on, anybody else? Even if you didn't raise your hand, get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet us up front right now. Come on, take that first step. Take that first step. The rest will be easy. Come on down. Anybody else? Come on. Just make them ready to the front right now. Church, be the full-time minister. Nudge your neighbor. Say, come on, friend. If you need to go, I'll go with you. Then bring them right now. Bring them down. Come on, just give them a little nudge. Don't hurt them. Come on, friend. If you need to go, I'll go with you. I'll be your friend. I'll help you. Come on, bring them right now. Bring them on down. Well, hey, everyone. Put a big smile on your face. This is the best decision of your entire life right here, right now. All right, I know that's like a big statement, but it's true. Because today marks the first day of your new life with Jesus Christ. You're committing all of your heart and all of your life to Him. Now, there's no commitment worth anything without consistency. And I want to encourage you to give us this next year. Keep coming. Coming to church weekly, right? In fact, come bi-weekly. Get two. Try weekly. Get three. I mean, we're here working hard for you. We got all kinds of service tonight, 6. Wednesday night at 7. Got the ladies' meeting this coming Friday night. Got young adults every other Friday night. Great things are happening here. We're working hard for you. Get as much as you can. Get into your Bible every day. Just read a scripture. Get something from God. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one, all right? Pray. You know, prayer is just talking with God. Just like I'm talking right now, you can talk to God. Good morning, Lord. Thanks for today. God, would you help me out with this day? God, I got some questions. Could you answer them for me? And then listen for His voice. God will talk to you. It's the best. So stay consistent. Give us this next year. And I guarantee you, next September 2026, you'll look at your life and you'll say, wow, look at what God has done. I don't even recognize this person. I'm new. It's an amazing thing. With those thoughts in mind, let's pray. Everybody's going to join in together with us just to encourage you. I'll give you short, simple phrases to say. I want you to make them your own. If you mess up on a word or two, don't worry about it, okay? It's not about the words of your mouth. It's about the expression of your heart going before the Lord, surrendering all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus. Even online, you can pray this prayer with us right now. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. I want you to say these words out loud together in faith. Say, Father God, I come to you today in the mighty name of Jesus to give you all my heart and all of my life. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin, cleanse me of my past, and give me a future with you. For I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that He came and died and was raised again to life just for me. Thank you, Jesus. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and lead me for the rest of my days, because from now on, I am saved. I'm born again. I'm headed for heaven, denying hell. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, guys, welcome to the family. We're so excited for you. Now, listen, when I got saved, I was 15 years old. I'd been raised in church, and I knew some stuff about God, but I still needed some help. I needed a friend to come and encourage me. I had some friends that taught me some things about the Bible, taught me some things about God, prayed with me, that sort of a thing. Just encouraged me to keep coming to church, okay? You need a friend. So my friend, Pastor Joel over here waving at you, really good guy. Nothing weird is going to go on. He wants to introduce you to some faith-filled friends here in the church that can come alongside you and encourage you, give you some free information, okay? It's easy. It's free. He'll take a couple minutes of your time talking about that, and then he'll let you go. Your friends and family that came with you that are still in the seats, they'll wait for you, okay? And if your kids are over there in the children's ministry, they're safe until you get there, okay? Would you make a left turn and follow Pastor Joel right this way for a couple minutes? Come on. Love you, Pastor Joel. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big praise. Hallelujah. God is so good. Hey, I know we went long today. I want to thank you guys for allowing us to win souls and to take that time. I appreciate you guys. I know I say this a lot, but I'm just grateful to be in ministry with you guys. Tonight, 6 p.m., different music, different message, but another opportunity to get into the things of God. And then Wednesday night at 7, we're back. And then ladies, remember, Women Rock PM, last one of the year, is on Friday. Also, my friend Joel and the California Will Be Safe team, thank you guys for coming to church. Man, I love you guys, and I'm so grateful for the work that you guys are doing. Keep telling someone about Jesus. Amen.
All right. Hey, can I bless you guys? Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Even online, wherever you are, lift your hands to the Lord right now. Let me bless you. Father, these are your people called by your name. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. Lord, with a great big shout of faith about our area, we declare out loud, on purpose, and in faith that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
What a blessing it was hearing the word of God this afternoon. If there's anybody.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.